So, brother, this is a brief proclamation of our hope and our faith. I won't take a long time. I don't think I'll necessarily say anything that you haven't heard before. But I'm hoping that at the same time, perhaps I can sow a few new seeds of reflection for the Easter season here. And I use that image because that's what I'm going to talk about. I begin really with a part of my meditation during the 40 days. Among many other passages, I was reflecting on Jesus' great one-line parable from the Gospel of John, John chapter 12, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. A grain of wheat. There are a couple of words here in the New Testament that they're different words. And so if you're doing a word study, you might miss half of the parables or half of the places where the seed gets talked about, because sometimes it's talked about as a grain or a kernel, and that's the word kokos, okay? And sometimes it's talked about as a seed, and that's usually the word sperma, like sperm, you know, that's what just comes from the Greek, just means seed. Here Jesus uses that word kokos. Kokos is actually how it's kokos, the grain of wheat. And maybe you guys weren't as retarded as I was as an early young disciple, but maybe you were. I was focused enough on myself and on my own growth. I immediately took this to be primarily about me. And it took me a while, it took me some years before I realized, you know, this is really primarily a parable about Jesus. This is the revelation of Jesus and the mystery of his death and resurrection that Jesus is talking about here. He is the seed of the kingdom. And he's that seed that must go into the ground and die. And in doing so, it must bear fruit in abundance. And only because he goes into the ground and dies and then bears fruit does it make sense that our own going into the ground and dying will also bear fruit, because it will bear fruit in his death and in his resurrection. And today, brothers, we celebrate this fact that the seed of the kingdom did not remain alone, but he fell into the ground and died. And having fallen into the ground and died, he has risen and he has borne an incredible harvest. The seed has risen in glory and the harvest is immense and it continues to bear fruit. And I was reflecting on Jesus as the seed. You know, this took me kind of on a little bit of a tour through the scriptures. Jesus is the seed. We could almost call this another one of the titles of Jesus. It's not one of the big famous titles, but it's an important title of Jesus. Let's go through a little bit of the scriptures. He is the promised seed. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, if you look at the RSV, you can miss it here because the RSV in this particular point tries to make more sense out of the words, and it uses the term offspring, because that's what it means. But the word is seed. It's the same word for seed, sperma. And Paul says in Galatians 3:16, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his seed. And it doesn't say, and to his seeds, referring to many, but to one, and to your seed, which is Christ. He is the seed. Jesus is the seed of the kingdom. He is that seed that must fall into the ground and die. He is the promised seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. Genesis 3:15. Once again, the sperma, the seed. Okay, we're in the Old Testament. It's the zera. But it's in the Septuagint, it's the sperma. Okay? Jesus is that seed promised to Adam and Eve after their fall. He is the promised seed of Abraham. Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. To you and to your seed. And Paul makes it very clear. Yeah, to his descendants, yeah, it means it, but it means he's talking to one seed, Paul says. And that one seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the promised seed of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 1, many other places. And brothers, he is the seed of the kingdom. I've thought about this more as I go through Jesus' parables about the seed of the kingdom. And I tend to think, okay, it's the Word of God, okay, it's, you know, it's the church, it's us. But more than anything else, or at least as importantly as anything else, Jesus himself is the seed of the kingdom. He's speaking about the mystery of the kingdom. He's partly talking about the revelation of himself and of what he does. He is the seed sown by the Father into the world in the incarnation. He is the seed sent by the Father as a living word in the proclamation of the gospel. And he is the seed that must be sown into the ground and die in order to bear the fruit of the kingdom. And so all those who thought they understood the imagery of the Messiah as the seed of Abraham and as the seed of David had a lot to learn about the Messiah's identity and his mission through the preaching of Jesus, much of which was in parables, and most of the parables were about seeds. Let's take a look at one of them. Matthew 13, verses 31, 32. The parable of the mustard seed. I'd suggest to you, brothers, that we might consider this really to be Matthew's version of that parable in John chapter 12, at least on a certain level of interpretation. Let's listen to it with those ears. Another parable he put before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain, kokos, same word that he uses in John 12, a grain of mustard seed, sperma, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, that's where the sperma is, it's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Once again, I've tended to think about this mainly as the church. And there are many levels of interpretation of any of Jesus' parables, and they're legitimate. But I would suggest that the Christological level of interpretation here is a very important one. And Jesus is also speaking about himself. He's that grain of mustard seed. And it's his going into the ground and dying that produces that tree, that produces the fruit and the life of the kingdom. And on that other level of interpretation then, Jesus is speaking about the church, and we are also that tree, part of the manifestation of his risen body in the world today. And so the church also must enter into that reality, must enter into that dynamic, into the death and resurrection of her Lord. We also need to go into the ground and die, and in so doing, to bear much fruit for the kingdom. And so the church is a manifestation of his resurrection, of his risen body in the world, sharing in his resurrected life, bringing his life to others, and becoming a home and a refuge for many. All as manifestation of this mystery of the kingdom, which takes place in his death and resurrection. Okay, well, this image of the seed of the kingdom, the promise of the bountiful harvest to come from the death and the rising of the seed, it also has an application to you and to me, to the individual disciple as well. And not only in this life, looking at those same passages and saying, yes, I also need to die and rise with Christ and bear much fruit, but also in terms of the promise of the life of the age to come, of our own resurrection from the dead, which inevitably we need to be meditating on in this season of the resurrection. And I find it very interesting. Paul uses the same image and the same words when he speaks of the resurrection of the dead in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just going to read you a few excerpts from the final part of that chapter, beginning around verse 35. Paul says, "Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?" And Paul says, "You foolish man. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies." Okay, he's going right back to the same fundamental truth, beginning from Jesus, but now speaking of the individual disciple. "And what you sow is not the body which is to be, but a bare kernel, kokos, the grain." Same word, same image. "Perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed, sperma, its own body. And so it is with the resurrection of the dead." Now we're around verse 42. "What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body." Verse 54, "And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Brothers, by the grace of God, by the life, by the death, by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the kingdom is now in each of us as well. The life of Jesus, crucified and risen from the dead, has been planted in your heart and in my heart through the Holy Spirit. And it has utterly transformed our beings. And it has made us seeds of the kingdom. May God grant that we be good seed. And may God grant that we also ourselves, as Jesus did, allow ourselves to fall into the ground and die, in order that much fruit might be born for the kingdom. And so, brothers, this is part of our Easter hope, that each of us will one day be sown into the ground as a seed. As Paul says, sown in death, raised in glory. Sown a physical body, raised a spiritual body. Raised to live in the power of the Lord's resurrected life, together with Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. Hallelujah, brothers. The seed of the kingdom is risen.